Yes, Deborah Reed Franklin is a very, very interesting character. She was barely literate, but she was a brilliant businesswoman. And he completely trusted her with everything, which was a good thing because he went off for years and years and years at a time. He was in England for about 12, 13 years, while she was left in Philadelphia to run the printing shops that they owned, which were really kind of franchises. And he was, you know, you always learn in school, he was the first Postmaster General of the United States, mm-hmm. but he wasn't in the United States. She was. So she ran the Postal Service, and she did a great job of it. She hired all these riders and had relays of horses so that the mail could get there quickly. But there was a Brit, you know, a nobleman who was titularly in charge, Lord Loudon, and one of the most utterly delightful illustrations in the children's book is of Deborah Reed Franklin's encounter with Lord Loudon, because he tried to fire one of her workers, and it was a relative, and she was having none of it, and she told him that not only was he not firing anybody who worked for her, but that he was slowing down the postal system and to back off and just get out of the way. And that just sent him away. But the picture is this fabulous illustration of a very angry Deborah Franklin holding Lord Loudon in the palm of her hand.
She could squish him at a moment.
Exactly. Kids don't know enough history, period, but they certainly don't know anything about women in history except rare examples here and there.
Now, it was Abigail Adams, I believe, that told her husband John to remember the ladies. Now, exactly to what was she referring?
Well, Abigail Adams had wanted John and his colleagues meeting at the Continental Congress in Philadelphia to declare independence for a full year before they did. She thought they were just a bunch of lily-livered men. She kept writing him letters saying, for God's sake, declare independence, you know.
Do something.
Do something. And the men, of course, were, you know, hesitant. Meanwhile, of course, the British are occupying Boston, and they are endangering the Patriot wives. And at one point, her son John Quincy wrote, years later, he wrote, for space of 12 months, my mother with her infant children dwelt liable every hour of the day and night to be butchered in cold blood or taken and carried to Boston as hostages.
Some strong language.
Yes, and John wrote to her and said, if it gets really dangerous, take our children and fly to the woods. You know, thank you, John, you know, having a good time in Philadelphia. But at any rate, despite her danger, she was very, very taken with the cause. She said danger, they say, makes people valiant. Hmm. But finally, these men are clearly going to declare independence. And so she writes to John and says, all right, you're going to have to form a new code of laws for this new country. And when you do, remember the ladies, because all men would be tyrants if they could. And normally, John paid really close attention to her and treated her with a great deal of respect. But in this case, he just laughed at her and did the ultimate guy put down, which was, you know, oh, you women really run everything. We know that, which was just a lot of baloney.
With this new book, you're trying to tell these stories of these patriot women to a new audience,
right.
Kids. Did you find yourself struggling with the complexity
yes.
of their lives? I'm thinking particularly of the fact that quite a few of the women who would be the founding mothers were also slave owners, just
right.
like the men.
Slave owners, and one of the women that I feature in here, Phyllis Wheatley, was a slave. Mm. She was an international celebrity as a poet, but she was a slave. One of the things that I do say is, I know it's surprising to you to know that there were slaves in Boston, but the evil of slavery was legal in all of the colonies at
Not
the time.
Not just the South.
Not just the South.
What have the kids had to say so far about this book?
The kids are wonderfully excited about it. And the first kid I read it to was my, at the time, just turned 8-year-old granddaughter. And she as we got toward the end, she said, "It's getting long, Cokie." But then
she calls you Cokie.
They all call me Cokie because one stupid name was enough. The next morning, she got her mother and she said, "Mom, I have to read you Cokie's book." And she said, "And here are my favorites." And she especially loved Deborah Reed Franklin, but also I have little sections in it on women warriors and women writers, and she loved All About the Spies. The one thing that I don't like is that there seems to be an assumption on the part of parents, not on the part of kids, that it's for girls only. Now, this is like saying girls can't read about men in history. Of course, the boys should read this book.
Cokie Roberts, thank you so very much for the book and for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.